Good day, everyone, and welcome to our time together in worship. It is good to be with you, even in this way, and I do appreciate the you listening in and the feedback that I've gotten, and I know these are challenging times, and this is not what we want to be doing, but given where we are, this is what we have, and so we do come together today to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will do that. We'll get to the prayers here just in a moment, but I want to go ahead and mention a prayer request to you, and it is for our worship committee and a couple of others who are going to be joining. We're going to be meeting soon to begin discussing how we will, when given the order or given the permission to come back to church. I know things will be different, creating a new normal, as it is said. But there's many things that we have to consider as we do come back together. So I would ask for your prayers for our worship committee. I know we will probably be meeting within the next week to begin those discussions. And as I said, there's a lot to consider. And I just appreciate your prayers there. We want to do this right and well. We're anxious to get back, but we want to do it safely. All right. Let's turn our attention to our worship before us. The sermon today is entitled, Be Doers of the Word. Be Doers of the Word. The Word preached, the Holy Scriptures preached, is to be the central focus of any Protestant worship service. This is a time when the words from the Holy Text are read, and then the preacher expounds, explains the text and gives illustrations, examples. And please understand, this preaching time is a very, very extraordinary time, full of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, empowering the preacher, making him able to speak the words of God to the people. But the Holy Spirit is also working in the listener. The Holy Spirit comes as well to the people, empowering you to be able to hear and understand that word given. Now, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Physically hearing is not what Jesus is after. Physically hearing, everybody can do. Anyone can hear who has that ability and not rendered incapacitated in their hearing. I don't want to mean that. But hearing, the physical hearing, is not what Jesus is speaking of. He's saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, meaning the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit has caused the person through regeneration, giving them ears to hear, meaning ears to understand, and become, as James teaches us, and I pray, doers of that which you've heard, of that which I've heard. Now, from the Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 21, part 5, we have teaching concerning the worship service and preaching. And I'll give you just one paragraph from chapter 21, part 5. The ordinary worship of God includes the reverent and attentive reading of the Scriptures, the sound preaching and conscientious hearing of the Word in obedience to God with understanding and faith. So here we have the reverent attentive reading, as I'm about to do, the sound preaching. I pray under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it is sound preaching. It is my intent to be sound in the preaching. But then also the conscientious hearing, active hearing on the part of the listener. Not just simply being there listening to the words, but conscientiously seeking to understand. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us understand. Reading on, the singing of psalms with grace in the heart and the proper administration and right receiving of the sacraments instituted by Christ. Then there are religious oaths and vows, solemn fasting, and thanksgiving on special occasion. Worship should include these at appropriate times, and they should be performed. All of these things should be performed in a holy and religious manner. And so when we come together to worship, even in this technological form, let us do it with a seeking of a holy nature and a religious manner, doing it conscientiously and being sound in our preaching. Speaking of the reading of Scripture, let's turn to the reading of our Lord's holy text And we will begin in the book of Nehemiah. If you have your Bibles, join me in Nehemiah chapter 8. And we're going to jump around a little bit in this chapter, foregoing the pronunciation of some of these gentlemen's names, if you don't mind. Nehemiah 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, and the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for this purpose. Moving to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then verse 8, they read from the book the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Here Ezra is preaching. He's on a wooden platform raised above the people, just as I am in this chancel area above the floor of the sanctuary. And they sought to understand what they heard. Verse 8 again, they read from the book the law of God and gave the sense, meaning he gave the sense of it. He explained it to them. And he did that so that the people understood what they had heard Ezra read. Now, if you would, to the New Testament, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Romans 10:5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Again, preaching, proclaiming the word, hearing and understanding. And then Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God will raise him, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they know? How will they come to know Jesus Christ and have that ability to confess, profess? Well, Paul gives it here that how can they hear without someone preaching? How can they hear without someone preaching? All right, one more passage for you from the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Caiaphas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to the one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. It's an incredible call that God puts on a person to preach. Just as Paul here says, he was unworthy to be called even an apostle. So is the preacher who stands in the pulpit unworthy to stand in that pulpit, stand in this pulpit, because sinners, yes, we are. But through the grace of God, we can proclaim God's word to the ones who hear, and then praying the Holy Spirit bring salvation to those who do hear this preached word. Let's turn our attention to prayer. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling place, O Israel. In your abundant loving kindness, O God, let us enter your house reverently to worship in your holy place. And we do this within our hearts through faith as we are spread across this community. Lord, we love your house. We miss being in your house, the place where your glory dwells. So we will worship with humility. We will seek your blessing in your presence, O God, our Maker. We miss so much gathering in your house of worship. To you, O Lord, does our prayer of faith go. May this be a time of joy and favor in your great love, O God. Answer us with your saving truth. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, we enter in through the work of the Holy Spirit and are empowered to worship in spirit and in truth. Hear us, O Lord, and be pleased, we pray, with the worship of your children. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. We turn our attention now to the prayer of confession. And please know, if you come to the Lord in a time of confession like this, or in your own confessions in your own time, with a truthful heart, with all earnesty, please know the assurance of pardon that you will receive. And let me give that to you now. Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from the lying lips and from deceitful tongues. O Lord, to have the ability through your grace to address you is certainly a blessing. But, O Lord, we are in distress. We have failed and strayed far from you. You have given us commands and called on us to obey through our love for you. But, O Lord, we have not followed your commands. We strive in our own blindness to follow our own desires. And this habit of ours leads us to the place of distress. Our lying lips deceive not only you, but we deceive ourselves. Our tongues are deceitful, as we're going to speak of today in the book of James. Our tongues are deceitful, speaking from a deceitful heart. Help us in our pain. O Lord, the words of the psalmist echo in our ears. He answers me, save me, O Lord. You do answer us in our distress. Father, please hear us in our time as we pray to you for our very lives. Save us, O Lord. Hear the people. Look into our hearts and see us with your eyes, O Lord. Look past the lies, the deceit, the distress, and hear us as we pray in this time of quiet. Thank you, O Father. Thank you, Father. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. as we continue in prayer. Turn to the needs and the cares of the people here at New Sterling and those related to individuals within the family of New Sterling. Please continue to remember Miss Merle. She's had several doctor's appointments seeing about her cancer, and it seems that the news is getting a little better. So we're thankful and we praise the Lord for that. For Bill and Dee Dee and the family, it's been a very, very tough week for them. Bill, as I've said, is out of the hospital. They were able to attend Dee Dee's father's graveside service, and we do pray for them as they are still quarantined, recovering from the virus. But Lord, just bring peace into that home as only you can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, I call to you. Come quickly. Hear my voice when I call. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and love you and give you all honor. Hear us as we pray, Lord, and bring these that we love so much to your attention. Miss Merle, Bill, and Dee Dee, little Lathan recovering from a broken arm. Miss Kay, I was able to speak to her this week. Madeline and Miss Betty, Kathy Stewart is recovering well. Lord, we thank you for this. Jan, Kim's sister, recovering well. And there are others, Lord, that we could lift up to you, but we thank you so much how you have intervened here and brought healing to these, your people. And Father, we again remember our shut-ins. It's so difficult on them and the family that they cannot visit. We hear stories of them visiting through the windows there in the room and the family standing out in the yard. We're thankful for that little bit, but I know that's very, very hard. And Father, we pray for our entire congregation here. These are the most challenging times. And as we are trying to navigate these times that we live in today, please give us wisdom. Father, we pray for the church universal. We're not the only church. Every church across this world, around this world, is trying to navigate these very difficult times. But Father, may we be churches of truth, and that we would know and understand the true place of worship in and for and to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for this church. May we too know and understand our rightful place, our true purpose, our mission. We thank you, Father, and pray for those you have set into leadership over this church, for the teachers and administrators who are seeking to get back to teaching and back to administrating in the church. Father, I pray you bless them and multiply their time. Even now as they are reading and studying, I pray they are working more deeply to study and prepare themselves to be the teachers that you desire. Father, we pray that we will always be a faithful and true church that brings glory to you. And as I mentioned earlier, Lord, I do pray for wisdom in our church as we begin to look into plans to prayerfully open up with some level of worshiping together. We want to be back together. We want to be together worshiping you. Worship is not confined to this building, but we enjoy and love so much being together to worship. Father, we pray for our denomination and its officers. Same thing, the same wisdom we ask for there as they lead us through these challenging times. And Father, we lift up to you these who have gone out from your church, our missionaries, from our denominations. They've gone out with the intent of sharing your word and your love with a lost and dark world. And Father, that's made even more challenging now in this coronavirus time because the support funds are being affected. And these individuals, they can't come home. They don't want to come home. As we've spoken to many of them, they understand their call. They do not want to leave the field, but funds are getting tight. And so I do pray that you would provide, Lord, funding for these who have gone out. Encourage our missionaries, Lord, as they are down. Encourage them and protect them and guide them through this time that they may share the gospel. Father, you have blessed us with the opportunity to live in a country that is free. Father, those freedoms are being challenged as we remain in this stay-at-home state. Give us wisdom to create a balance of safe living while returning to some level of more public living. We do not want to be foolish with this, Lord. But we do seek and desire to be back in the public circle, sharing your gospel, loving on the people, taking care of our folks in this church, sharing the love with our neighbors, etc. So give us wisdom there. And Father, we pray for our president, the Congress. Again, these are very challenging times. Convict their consciences to your laws and to your ways. May they conduct their business according to your desire for this country. Father, we pray for the governors of these 50 states. They are challenged by this virus and how to best lead their states. And there's such a wide array of how in the opinions of these 50 governors. And so again, wisdom there. We pray for wisdom. We pray for wisdom. Just as well for our local leaders, we do that as well. Father, you have set our leaders in place over us, and from your teaching and Jesus' words, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto the Lord what is the Lord. And in Romans 13, that we are to be in submission to the authorities that you've given over us to protect us. And Father, we want to do that. But we also pray for our leaders that they would not overextend the power that they've been given. Again, wisdom, Lord. Wisdom. Father, hear us now as we join our voices together, praying the prayer the Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. All right, once again to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 19 through the end of the chapter. James 1, 19 through 27. Again, the title of the sermon, Be Doers of the Word. Hear the infallible, inerrant, holy, inspired word of the living God. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I do pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his most holy word. The preached word, as I've said, preaching of the word, is to be the pinnacle of the worship service, because this preached word, this holy text, is the word that reveals Jesus Christ to us, and he is the center of our worship. And so God communicating to us through his word as it is preached, as I've said, is to be the pinnacle of the worship service. And so everything we do in the conduct of worship, as we gather together in corporate worship, which I wish we could do so very badly, everything we do, the fellowship, the singing, the praying, the choir's anthem, the confessional prayer, all leading up to the preached word. All of this is preparing us to hear the preached word, because preaching is God speaking to his people. And he speaks from that which he inspired to be written long ago. It is offered through his servant, the preacher, to a people in need of hearing from God. Paul says again in Romans 10:14, I read earlier, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? The very act of knowing God and the coming to him in salvation begins through preaching. However, the importance and the vitality of preaching does not lie in the preaching event alone. There is more to preaching than just offering the sermon. And, as I've said earlier, it is more than just simply physically listening. Again, James says in 1:22, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Do what it says. Be doers of the word. And just as the preached word reveals Jesus Christ, being doers of the word is also following in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus says in John chapter 5, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Just as Jesus is the doer of the Father's will, let us be doers of what we receive through the preached word, which again reveals Jesus Christ to his people. In contrast to this, I believe, is an answer to all the horrors that we face as Christians in this world. We are not overwhelmingly doers of the word. If we would only do what we have heard through the preached word, we would all be different people. We would be a different church. This world would be a different place if we did what we heard through the preaching. One commentator writes, if we heard a sermon every day of the week and an angel from heaven were the preacher, yet if we rested in hearing only, it would never bring us to heaven. Mere hearers are self-deceivers. And this is James' encouragement. Don't be just listeners. Do what it says. Once again, let me remind you of context here. The context of the individuals who received this letter. These folks have been forced out of Jerusalem. They are poor. They are now living as refugees in other towns and in villages. Life is challenging for them. Sound familiar? We have been forced out of our natural routines. Many are living lives in disarray. We even have a couple now affected by this virus. We need this encouragement. Be doers of the word. But also with this encouragement, James points out an issue that has arisen among the people that he is addressing. And this issue that has arisen is going against the word preached. Look at me with verses 19 and 20 once more. He says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So be doers of the word, and a good doer of the word is not one who speaks often, but also one who's not angry. Anger has shown itself among the people, and anger is not of God. Anger is based in selfishness. Anger is based in selfishness. I didn't get my way. I don't get what I want, and so I lash out in anger. Anger is selfishness. Paul speaks of the horror of anger in his teachings to the Ephesians. He teaches them that they should be children of light, children of God. And he says in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, he says, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Anger is not the way of God. Anger grieves the Holy Spirit. And James making his point even stronger regarding anger. Verse 21, he says, "Now anger does not produce righteousness. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Receive with meekness. He equates anger here with filthiness and wickedness. He's speaking of immoral filth, homosexuality, murder, slander, fornication, anger. And again, at the end of the verse, he supports his main teaching. He says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Can we receive this word with meekness? Do we have that kind of receptive heart, that meek heart, that non-angry heart to humbly receive the word? The parable of the sower comes to mind. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 13. It's a familiar parable, one of the better known parables. This one and the prodigal son, probably the two better knowns. But here we're talking about being a receptive soul, having a receptive heart. Matthew 13, verse 1. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And a great crowd gathered around him so that he got in a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth in soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And then go with me to verse 18 of chapter 13. Here Jesus explains the parable. Verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. I'll just concentrate on this last portion. As for the seeds that were sown in the good soil, that hearer understood it, and then he bears fruit and yields. He heard the word, his heart was receptive. The person's soul, the heart is receptive. The Holy Spirit is there working, making that heart fertile. And when the seed of the Word of God is planted, it grows and bears fruit as the hearer of the Word goes out and does bear fruit and yields a crop of righteousness. Be doers of the Word. Be doers of the Word. Again, let me emphasize this from one commentator. The purpose of preaching is not preaching. Preaching is not an end in itself. We do not preach so that people will go away saying, "That was good preaching." The purpose of preaching is performance. Not the performance of the preacher, but the corporate performance of the whole assembly whose lives and relationships are changed by the preached word of grace. Be doers of the word. James goes on and shows how illogical it is not to be doers of the word. He speaks of a man looking at himself in the mirror and then turning away and forgetting what he looks like. Now, I know some, that's probably not a bad idea. Some of us that are not as handsome as others, But here, James's point is, you look at yourself, you remember who you are. You hear the word. How inconceivable is it to look at yourself in the mirror and forget what you have seen? It's the same with the preached word. To hear the word preached from holy text and then not do what you've heard, in James's mind, is inconceivable. I remember my grandma Cleo. She would ride back and forth to church with us. And she on occasion would say, "That was a good sermon. I hope those people were listening to it. They need to hear what he had to say." And my mom would turn around and ask her, "So, well, Grandma Cleo, what about you?" "No, not me. Not me. I'm good." My dear Cleo, here in verse 25, we read James being the good pastor. "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Blessed, a beatitude. Blessed is the one who does not forget what they have heard and then goes out and does it. Preaching, hearing, and doing. This is the way of the Christian. Several passages here to support our teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." Again from 1 Corinthians, this time from 21. "For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." And then his letter to Timothy, second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, he tells the young Timothy, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching." Preaching. It is the pinnacle of the Christian worship service. We worship Jesus Christ and we learn through preaching. We learn Jesus through preaching. And as James says, listening without doing is illogical and foolish. The great Billy Graham writes, "The test of a preacher is that his congregation goes away not saying, 'What a lovely sermon,' but 'I will do something.'" The people reading this letter from James are a people who are struggling in life. They have hardships and trials. It would be easy to fall away from the teaching and be tempted to sin. But he says, no, do not forget. Do what you've been taught. We in our time today, through the challenges and the struggles, it would be easy to leave biblical teaching and biblical preaching as we navigate this difficult time. But we must show our love for the Lord and persevere through the challenging times. As I said, James's audience is struggling with life, and he encourages them. I encourage you in the same way. In whatever you're facing in life, loss of job because of this virus, the shutting down of the economy, a reduction of pay, illness, sickness, the loss of loved one, in whatever you're facing in life, do not simply listen and walk away. Pray before you listen to the sermon. Pray, "Lord, teach me through this word." And afterwards, pray, "Lord, lead me through this word." I pray that we would all be doers of the word. Now, doers of the word leads to a pure religion. Doing what we've been taught through preaching leads to a sound religion. And here James, the very practical James again, gives us what a pure religion is and what it is not. Verse 26. "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion is as pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Again, very practical teaching. Three things: bridle the tongue, visit orphans and widows, and keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, please understand, these three things that James has given us is not a comprehensive list of the things that make up a pure, sound religion. However, these three here will reveal what James is after, and that is the condition of one's heart. Has your heart been pricked by the preached word through the work of the Holy Spirit, and are you about doing those things of a good and sound, pure religion? With these actions, a pure heart will be revealed. First of all, bridle the tongue. Now, when we get to chapter 3, James is going to get in much, much deeper detail about the tongue. He says that the tongue can be like a restless beast. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Given no control, the tongue can be like an untamed animal. Now, James doesn't tell us that we are not to speak at all. But like that wild animal, like that wild horse, the tongue needs to be broken in and harnessed. So, that spoken word, that preached word, Holy Spirit, come, guard my tongue, guide my words. Let me not lash out in words of anger. Secondly, a pure religion means to visit orphans and the widows. Now, this means more than just visit, stop by and chat. No, this means to look out for, to care for, to have a high level of concern about. To show this concern for orphans and widows requires that a person takes the focus off of themselves and thinks about the needs of others. And we do not expect any payback from this. In the society of James's day, they were poor and not able to work, the widows and the orphans. Today in our society, we have the poor and the widows and the widowers that we need to look out for. Again, I love the beautiful story where one of our elders is going to the grocery store for one of our widowers. So protecting him so that he doesn't have the possibility of being infected by this virus. And I hear other stories of individuals caring for, providing for these during these challenging times. In our society, we have the poor and the widows and the widowers, and let us be good and timely in caring for them. Thirdly, a Christian is to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is challenging because the world and its ways bombards us at every turn. And here the world refers to the evil systems under which Satan's domain is opposed to God's world. As God's people, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. If we make friends with the world, we have made ourselves enemies with God. James is saying that we are not to embrace the world's goals, their priorities, or its temporary trappings. Yes, we are to live in this world, and we follow society's laws and their rules, and we are the good citizens. But we have to be careful that we don't get wrapped up and caught up in the fervor of living in this world. I'm reminded of Psalm chapter 1. If you'd like to join me there, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Again, being separate, walking not with the wicked, but walking with the righteous. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the Lord, in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Listen to this progression. Blessed is the man who walks not in the wicked, in the counsel of the wicked. Okay, here, in opposition to this, we have an individual who starts walking with the wicked. Then he says, they're no longer walking. He says, nor stands in the way of sinners. Okay, now they've stopped walking. They're standing, having conversation. Then he sits in the seat of the scoffer. So here's the man who is walking along with someone who has evil ways. He stops and has discussion with him. Then he sits down with him as to have time. But the psalmist writes, blessed is the one who does not even walk with the wicked, so that they're not even tempted to stand with the wicked, and certainly not tempted to sit with the wicked. But our delight is in the law of the Lord. Our delight is in the word of God that we hear through preaching. Let us take delight in God's word, which has shown us the way of Jesus. Let us be doers of this word. And we pray that God would bless our efforts. Amen and amen. Hear the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen.